Chapter 71. Snaking through heavy crowds on the Riva degli Schiavoni, Langdon, Sienna, and Ferris hugged the water's edge, making their way into St. Mark's Square and arriving at its southernmost border, the edge where the piazza met the sea. Here the throng of tourists was almost impenetrable, creating a claustrophobic crush around Langdon as the multitudes gravitated over to photograph the two massive columns that stood here, framing the square. The official gateway to the city, Langdon thought ironically, knowing the spot had also been used for public executions until as late as the 18th century. Atop one of the gateway's columns, he could see a bizarre statue of St. Theodore, posing proudly with his slain dragon of legendary repute, which always looked to Langdon much more like a crocodile. Atop the second column stood the ubiquitous symbol of Venice, the winged lion. Throughout the city, the winged lion could be seen with his paw resting proudly on an open book bearing the Latin inscription, Pax tibi Marce, Evangelista Meus. May peace be with you, Mark, my evangelist. According to legend, these words were spoken by an angel upon St. Mark's arrival in Venice, along with the prediction that his body would one day rest here. This apocryphal legend was later used by Venetians to justify plundering St. Mark's bones from Alexandria for reburial in St. Mark's Basilica. To this day, the winged lion endures as the city's symbol and is visible at nearly every turn. Langdon motioned to his right, past the columns, across St. Mark's Square. If we get separated, meet at the front door of the Basilica. The others agreed and quickly began skirting the edges of the crowd and following the western wall of the Doge's palace into the square. Despite the laws forbidding feeding them, the celebrated pigeons of Venice appeared to be alive and well, some pecking about at the feet of the crowds and others swooping into the outdoor cafes to pillage unprotected bread baskets and torment the tuxedoed waiters. This grand piazza, unlike most in Europe, was shaped not in the form of a square, but rather in that of the letter L. The shorter leg, known as the Piazzetta, connected the ocean to St. Mark's Basilica. Up ahead, the square took a 90-degree left turn into its larger leg, which ran from the Basilica toward the Museo Correr. Strangely, rather than being rectilinear, the square was an irregular trapezoid, narrowing substantially at one end. This funhouse-type illusion made the piazza look far longer than it was, an effect that was accentuated by the grid of tiles whose patterns outlined the original stalls of 15th-century street merchants. As Langdon continued on toward the elbow of the square, he could see, directly ahead in the distance, the shimmering blue glass dial of the St. Mark's clock tower, the same astronomical clock through which James Bond had thrown a villain in the film Moonraker. It was not until this moment, as he entered the sheltered square, that Langdon could fully appreciate this city's most unique offering. Sound. With virtually no cars or motorized vehicles of any kind, Venice enjoyed a blissful absence of the usual civic traffic, subways, and sirens, leaving sonic space for the distinctly unmechanical tapestry of human voices, cooing pigeons, and lilting violins serenading patrons at the outdoor cafes. Venice sounded like no other metropolitan center in the world. As the late afternoon sun streamed into St. Mark's from the west, casting long shadows across the tiled square, Langdon glanced up at the towering spire of the Campanile, which rose high over the square and dominated the ancient Venetian skyline. The upper loggia of the tower was packed with hundreds of people. Even the mere thought of being up there made him shiver, and he put his head back down and continued through the sea of humanity.